All right, let's continue our teaching, Walking in the Spirit. We have been on it for some time, and I'd like us to read our main scripture again, the book of Galatians chapter 5, which is one we have been reading again and again while studying on walking in the Spirit. And if you remember, the version I use, New American Standard, it uses the word walk by the Spirit, and I've been trying to explain for the last few weeks actually what it means to walk by the Spirit. The book of Galatians chapter 5, verse 13, says you were called to freedom. Let me just say this briefly. That is a difficult thing in life. For people to be free is very difficult. That is, people rather be in bondage because somebody else is responsible for their actions. And that's why people often are afraid of freedom. Now, I won't develop that now, but true Christianity is about freedom. That's the real thing. And what do you mean by freedom? You'd be surprised. It means literally that we're not supposed to walk by some fast laws, but to understand God and understand Him so well that, like I say as an illustration all the time, that if He were to go on leave and not say anything, we would know His heart, we would know exactly what He would have said under certain circumstances. All right? So that's what it is. So he said, we are called to that freedom. He said, but we must not turn our freedom into an opportunity for the flesh. But in that freedom, we should be able to serve one another. That's verse 13. Like I was saying, that's the problem with freedom. People often use the freedom as the opportunity for the flesh. The illustration, again, I use a lot of times talking about this freedom thing is the fact that in my home, the children have a time they are supposed to sleep, but it does not apply to adults. Are you getting my point? When you get to the house, during school sessions, there's a period in which, by a certain time, all the children must be on their beds. But then when you grow beyond that level, or in fact, there are certain channels of the TV they can't watch. You know my point? And they know the law. At certain times, you must switch off from even watching cartoons and start watching only educational channels until you fall asleep. But for us adults, it does not. There's no law like that. However, even though there's no law, all right, there are certain channels we never tune to. Nobody in my home has mistakenly tuned to Big Brother Africa. We don't even think about it. It doesn't even cross anybody's mind to find what are they even doing currently. What concerns me with people who want to die and go to hellfire? Even though there's freedom, that's the point I'm making, but we do not use that freedom as the opportunity for the flesh. You don't say, because I'm free, I can do what I want. You now indulge the flesh. That's that illustration. And how do we do that so that we do not indulge the flesh? That's what he was saying. He said, through love, serve one another. Use your freedom. Jesus Christ, he said that, all right, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. He said the law was made for man and not man for the law. And that the Son of Man is Lord also over the Sabbath. But what did he do on Sabbath? The only thing he did on Sabbath was to heal the sick. He did not say because the law, all right, was made for man and not man for the law, and that he is the Lord over the Sabbath. He will not get up on Sabbath and say, guys, let's go to our farms. No. The only way he broke, in quotes, according to the Pharisees now, the Sabbath was by healing the sick, was by doing good works. And you found out that when he had to argue with them, he explained to them that, listen, if you have an animal that's about to die, because he fell into a pit, will you say it's because it's Sabbath or it's a Sabbath day? You will not bring it out. That is, he used the freedom that he had to serve somebody. So when he saw a woman that was sick, she had been bound over by a spirit of infirmity, all right, for the last many years. He freed her even though it was on a Sabbath day. So he said, use your freedom to serve one another. And he said in verse 14, let's continue reading. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. And that's in the statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, take care that in that process all of you are not consumed. Now let's sit down our main text, verse 16. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and vice versa. Verse 18 now says, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Then verse 19, he listed the deeds of the flesh. And then ended that in verse 21. And he said that, and things like this, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. That is, they will not find heaven manifested in their today's life. Please let me say this again. He wasn't saying, he was not talking about going to hell or going to heaven here. He was describing specifically that in this your existence, God wants to manifest his power through you. And he wants to manifest his power in you. When they came to Jesus, he said to them, if I by the finger of God cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. That is, Jesus was the embodiment of the kingdom of God. And he was living in that kingdom even though he was living on this earth. And he was saying that anybody, Paul was saying here, that indulges the flesh will not find God's power, God's kingdom so manifested in his life. Please bear that in mind. All right? He said, but the fruit of the Spirit is just one thing, but with different manifestations. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Then now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. If you go down to verse chapter 6, again he said in verse 6, the one who is taught the word is to share all good things. My emphasis there is the fact that he pointed that he's supposed to share good things with the one who teaches. He said, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. Now, people say that if you sow money, you will reap money. Please, you must understand what he was saying. That he never said that. I heard very good preachers sometimes say it, that if you give money, you will get money. That's not what the Bible was saying. If a man sows, everything has his substance, the real substance that is inside it. Money in itself is hardly ever the substance. Money only conveys the spirit. And it is that spirit actually that you are sowing. So it's not if you give naira, you will get naira. If you give money, you must get money back. No. Money conveys different things. It can convey love. It can convey honor. It can convey mercy. It can convey, of course, compassion. It can convey simple love. You know, I think I mentioned it earlier. All right? Being a good person willing to help somebody else. That might manifest in money. And whatever it is you sowed is what you will reap. So if you give money, if your own money manifests selfishness, I want more, therefore I give, you will also reap selfishness. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? It is not because I gave money I must get. No, if I give selfishness, that's the real substance inside my giving, then I will get selfishness, in quote, back. And that's what Paul now said further down, that anyone that sows to his own flesh will from that flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Just to emphasize what I was saying a few moments ago. So talking about that real substance, Jesus talked about it. He that shows mercy will obtain what? Are you seeing that? That is, mercy is the real substance. How do I show mercy? It can be by giving money. And that's what I need to emphasize to Christians again and again, because I know, I perceive it all the time. You say these things, people don't, they still want to read on the superficial and say, if you sow money, don't expect to reap something else. You have to reap money. I heard a man preaching that one day his wife gave out underwears, you know, bought, you know, women's underwears, all right, and gave them out to people as offerings. And she said, what are you doing? That they are going to soon start receiving underwears. You think God does not think. He does not know how many underwears your wife can wear. I don't know whether you are getting what I'm going to explain. All right, we must understand that. If it was really a gift, that is, you're trying to help people, God knows, and I say it all the time, the Shunammite woman gave hospitality to Elisha, and reaped a child. Do you follow that point? Yes, there was a time her money was lost, her estate was lost. It was recovered back for her. What she just did was to show honor. And God said, whoever honors me, the person I will honor. It's not whoever gives me money. So be careful as a believer when you are sowing this your financial seeds. Very important. I'm trying to summarize everything now. I've been emphasizing this, that the difference is whether you are sowing to your flesh or you are sowing to the spirit. The basic thing is this. Who is it that is sowing to the flesh? The fellow who is doing what he's doing for what he's going to get. No matter how spiritual it looks. I remember once, then I didn't understand it. A brother, you know, I think I've told you this story. A friend of mine, it said this. Now, we didn't have much understanding. I would have corrected him then, because I didn't know it too. But this also happened. I just want to tell the story again to help correct us in our behaviors as Christians. Some young men went to see Bishop David Oyedepo, and that's an anointed man. If you believe that, say amen. Some people said they went to heaven, and they found that the Bishop Oyedepo and Bishop Pastor Adeboye are going to hell. Let me tell you the truth. Those guys will get to hell faster. That is, those people have seen those funny visions. I'm not a respecter of man, that's it, because he's a... Are you saying because he's a big man, he can't go to hell? He is not going to hell, amen? And has nothing to do with whether he's a big man or he's not. Are you going to hell? I'm not going to hell. That's not important. Who's going to hell, who's not going to hell. But this is an anointed man of God, a man I respect so much. Again, let me tell you why, one of the reasons why I respect Bishop Oyedepo so much. Many of the things you are seeing now, do you understand? They said he has private jet, he has two. Is it, I don't know whether it's two or four he has now. I really don't know. The ministry. Uh-huh. Somebody just confirmed four, all right? Yes, and he has built, last I knew, there were two universities, and I think there's a third one on the way, and some other ones being built in different parts of Africa that is in the pipeline. And people say that they keep on talking nonsense, you know. Please, may poverty not control your mouth in Jesus' name. Amen. Say amen, no. Amen. I said, say amen, no. Amen. Some people, they wake up in the morning and say, poverty, you are my friend. May you never depart from me. He said, but when did they say that? They sit down and start cursing and insulting and criticizing things they know nothing about. One of the most stupid arguments you hear all the time is that how can a church, the members be giving offerings to the building of a university and the members can't attend because it's too expensive? And this is my answer. When you and your brother start a supermarket, go and take bread and don't pay. Did you catch that? That is, if you and your brother put money together to start a supermarket, does it give you the right to walk in there and take stuff without paying? What do you pay for? The cost of that thing. Building the I teach in the university. I can assure you, those universities are cheap. The fact that you contribute money does not give you an automatic scholarship. Because if that was the case, you and me know it, you fold the first day. The place has to run. I hope you are getting my point. It has to run. The so-called offering that you are talking about, if indeed that's the way it went, was used to subsidize it. The money you are paying, the only reason why it's that cheap is because you gave that offering. Nobody is saying that, okay, how much did you give to us? How much did each, you are talking about, how much did they give? Okay, you give. 10,000 naira. They will now give you free tuition. Madness. No, poverty is a terrible thing, though. It just blinds you. You can't think straight. If your father owns a filling station, can you take fuel from there free? No, think about it. Which is our family business. I just said, put fuel. If you do like that, you will close my favorite supermarket. You know that supermarket downstairs? You know they've closed. They closed at 12 midnight. Disappeared with people's money. You know, what I'm giving you is facts. Anyway, if you want to know how to, if you want to start a business, please, go and meet my wife. Go and meet Yinka for counseling. No, it sounds like a joke. I'm not joking about it. Most businesses close because people don't know how to manage money. The Bible says, know the condition of your flock. Are you getting my point? Now, please, it's just... Anyway, all those things people criticize, I don't have time to discuss it. Let me just give it to you because I know you believe what I'm saying. That's why you came here. If you hated me, what would you be doing here? And you know I won't lie to you. Let me tell you the truth. Those ministry universities, they are cheap. You say, but they are more expensive than federal universities. In case you do not know, their lecturers and university lecturers earn the same amount of money. And federal university lecturers, they earn the same amount of money. If you don't pay it, you won't get the lecturers. The so-called monies that people gave as offering only built the buildings. It can't run the place. Federal universities, UNILAG charges more than half what Covenant charges. Yet, its own staff, they are all paid by federal government. Anything they generate there, they use it there. Yet, they are charging more than half of what Covenant is charging. What does that tell you? Covenant has to pay all his staff from what he are paying. please, after today, when people are not going anywhere, are gathering to talk, the worst you should do is keep quiet. At best, teach them the truth. God said, I will bless those that bless you. Let me not read the other side. You know the other side. So don't join those who are cursing those that God is blessing. It's one of the ways by which people hinder their own personal blessings. God is blessing the man. You are saying, I don't mind them. By the time they reach this level, they can't think again. They start buying plane. God say, you, I'm taking your shoes. Yeah. Because you too, when you were poorer than this, you had only a pair of slippers. Ever since I gave you a job, you bought 4 pairs of shoes. A new wristwatch. You change your socks every week now. And every fine shirt you buy. And to you, it's not sin. It's not iniquity. It's only when a man who has plenty buys a plane that is iniquity. Let me tell you the 2 major reasons people buy planes. Good people. 1, they can afford it. 2, they need it. And the 2 main reasons, Pastor Banky doesn't have a private jet today are the exact opposite of the first 2 I told you. Number 1, I can't afford it. Number 2, I don't need it. Where am I going? Where am I going? No, that is very important. So if somebody can afford it, I mean, really, you need to have plenty of money to own those things. So buying it is the least of your problems. Pay 2 pilots first, you go wake up. Then when you park the, you know, if you park in your house, no charge. If you park your, no matter how big your car is, no charge. Unfortunately, the plane cannot park in your house. It has to park at the airport. And they charge you every day you leave it there. You fly over 2 airports, they charge you. When you land, you know there's a charge. Landing fees. I'm not sure there's no takeoff fees. You had better be rich before you buy a plane. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Now, I don't know. Why did I go into that? Just be like educating people. Rich people are going somewhere, need to know all these things. Leave all those poverty people. Amen? Amen. God has delivered you from poverty in Jesus' name. You know how to reason like the people who are prosperous in the name of Jesus? Paying for the $8 million a month doesn't scare you. Does it scare you? No. God will make all grace abound towards you, that you having all sufficiency in all things, we are bound to every good work. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Hear me. At least one person listen to me sitting down here tonight will fly a private jet. Amen. And it is not because of ostentation you want to show off. You are not showing off to anybody. You are too busy to show off. No wonder they told Mary Kay Ash. She has some pains in her joints, that she has rheumatoid arthritis. Then she'll get crippled. They told her all the things that will happen with her. She thanked the doctor and went back to work. Said that was maybe like 20 years ago when she was telling the story. I've been too busy for the rheumatoid arthritis to come back. I've had too much to do. I don't have time to wake up in the morning. Oh, my joint is paining me. Said, joint, it can be paining you. I'm going to work. In the same manner, you will be too busy to be showing off to anybody. I just feel like telling you how blessed people are. So, Bishop, one of the reasons why I like him is because all these things you see now, when he didn't have too many cars, he said them, and I heard them. I heard the things he said. Around 1990, once I started hearing him, he made it clear that money will never be a problem for him, that when the time comes, he'll buy a private jet. He's been saying that thing. 20 years before he did those things, I heard him say them. Before he bought land for university, he had been declaring those things. So that's why people like, I would never criticize people like him on things that I know. Because there are many things I've declared also in my life. I know the one I enjoy of all my declarations. Let me tell you the one I enjoy most. Shall I tell you? You've heard me talk about the kind of house I live in, you know, big ranch-like area. But that's not a big deal for me. I mean, it's not a big deal. The one I will enjoy most. Oh, God. The one I will enjoy most, which I've been declaring for a long time. Is it there? You. I'll meet you at an airport, and I'll just say, with me. Wait, watch. That is the MD of that multinational, and your company is worth billions. I said, just watch. Hey, Fidelis, come. That is the one. And you will run. I said, I told you. that is the one. That is the one. The one that it will almost bring tears from my eyes. And I say, okay, time to pray for the president of Nigeria. And it will be somebody who sat here who I taught the word of God. And I will never allow him. Only God can take that mic from me. So that I must preach the inaugural service. I must pray the prayer for the president. If any, I will physically fight anybody that comes to near that microphone. SSS will not be able to stop me. I'll say, give me the mic. What's your problem? I'm going to pray this prayer today. I want them people who know what I'm thinking of. I said, oh, Lord. I was saying in my heart. Outside, I was saying, Father, thank you for the nation. Inside my heart. I said, Lord, we're small in our own eyes. Yet you made. That's what I'll be saying inside. On the surface, I'll be saying, Father, we thank you for the nation, Nigeria. We bless the press. Inside. Inside. What I'll be saying. That one, it will happen.
Amen.
I said, it will happen.
Amen.
Listen, even if you become local government chairman, call me. I will leave everything I have to do. I don't care if it's Saturday. I will come and do inauguration for you. When you finish taking your oath, everybody move aside. I bring my anointing oil. Kneel down. I will empty the bottle. You better have spare shirt that day. Because I will finish the bottle. In the name of Jesus, goodness will be with you. All your enemies will drown. I'm serious. Political prayer, not be joke prayer. It will happen in Jesus' name.
Amen.
I said it will happen in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Many things that will happen. It's not about buying car that's the issue. The one that will make me laugh is, I told you, I would really love it. A car will drive by, I will look at it. I say, my God, this is fine. I say, how much is that? He says, 25 million, sir. I say, 25 million, give me my phone. I'll call two of you. I'll tell you the name of the car, tell you the color I want. I want it by next week. I will hang the phone and give the person beside me. When the car comes, bring it and come out. And I know it's coming. Then say, yes, and when he arrives, I won't even call you to say thank you. Why should I call you to say thank you? For what? Is it your money? It's our money, amen?
Amen.
It's our father's money. He just said, give me a small portion. I just say, he has brought it. Is it good? Do we like it? If not, should we ask them to send the second one? They say, no, sir, this one is okay. Sorry, let us go. That will happen in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
For me, that's why I'm taking joy from. That is it. That the word of God I preached lifted people up and it brought them to a level where the glory of God began to manifest in their lives. That's what's going to give me joy. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. And let me now get back to my message, all right? I hope you're blessed by that.
Yes.
Now, so what I was saying. So then, as I like Bishop Idipo, that's what I was talking about. So this young man, a friend of mine, I'm back now to where I started from. I'm talking about sowing to the flesh and sowing to the spirit. So some young men went to Bishop's house. And they found that this is where the man of God lives. So I think they stopped and then left, went to the market and bought a lot of things, you know, gifts, foodstuff, household things like that, you know, consumables. So when they came, the wife let them in, they delivered all the gifts. And when Bishop Oedipo came down later, he said to them, oh, I heard that you guys brought me this and this and that. And they said, yes, sir. And he said to them, you are very wise. No, he doesn't say you, thank you. He said, you are very wise. And he began to tell them things and all of that, registered with them afterwards, told them to kneel down, and he laid hands upon them and blessed them with the anointing to prosper. By the following year, all of them were multimillionaires. That their company began to thrive. The fellow telling me the story is their friend. He said very soon that they will call him to tell him how much money they made the previous year. And they connected it with that visit. Now, please note that too. I want to bring out something, right? Just notice. The fellow telling me the story said that he has learned now. That what he's planning to do now is to go to Bishop's house and start washing his clothes. Did you catch it? The first set of young men went just to honor the teacher of the word, the man of God. Nothing more. They just said, this is where this man stays. How can we just pass like that? So they went and brought gifts so as to greet him. Then somebody heard the story and said, this is the key to prosperity. Are you seeing where we miss it in Christianity? He was going to sow to his flesh. The first set of people sow to the spirit. Are you getting my point? That's it. In Christianity, your motivation must be very, you have to watch it. He said to them in Malachi, take heed to your spirit. Take heed to your spirit. That is why every day I wake up, I tell you, stop this nonsense of when I need money, I go and give. When you need money, you go and pray. Do you understand my point? When do you give? When the other person needs money, not when you need money. Did you get that? And that's what it means when he says, sow to the Spirit. Because, you know, that's what I'm trying to emphasize. He said, now, let's get back there. We'll be reading this. He said in verse 9. Now, okay, in that verse 6, I first emphasized the sharing of good things. And then in verse 9, he was now saying, let us not lose heart in doing good. For in due time we reap if we do not grow weary. What does that tell you? He was saying simply, therefore, that instead of sowing to the flesh and from the flesh reaping corruption, this is how we sow to the Spirit. We continually do good. And we read from Matthew chapter 22 that there are two commandments that are the greatest of the commandments. In fact, they are, both of them are the same caliber. And he said, upon these commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And what are those two commandments? Number one, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. And number two, thou shalt love your neighbor as yourself. Love, therefore, is what we follow in walking in the Spirit. And we said love has two types. There's love for God, that's commandment number one. And there's love for your neighbor, that's commandment number two. And how do you love God? If a man loves me, he will keep my word. And I ended last time by emphasizing that the fellow who really loves God, what he or she does is to pursue obedience to the word of God. It's not just to say, I've gone to church and we've done minimal obedience. It's that God has a counsel. He has a word in every situation, and I will not do anything that contradicts that word. In fact, I go every day looking for that word, and that's the reason why you've come here this evening. If you have a conflict in your home, you and your wife, there is something God said about how to handle it. Not what your father thinks, not what your village thinks. And I remember last time I emphasized that the job of a pastor is not the man who is nice and greets and hugs people. The job of the pastor is the man who we ask the counsel of God at such times. As to what is the will. The will of God is not, hey, does God want me to go to the left or go to the right? No. That is part of the will of God. But the will of God is that, what did God describe for this kind of situation? I got a tweet from Bishop Oyedepo. I read it yesterday. He said, those of you that go and pray for 7 days, how I wish you would think for 2 days. What is that to explain? That God has precepts. Use those precepts and try and arrange your life. So the man, the woman who loves God is the one who looks for those precepts so as to arrange his or her life. Very important. Walking in the Spirit, that's what it means. Let me emphasize again. It doesn't mean to wake up in the morning and say, oh, Holy Ghost, if you don't speak today, I'm not going anywhere. No. No. If the Holy Ghost does not want you to go anywhere, he will speak. If he doesn't say anything, it means go somewhere. I don't know where I get my point. Paul never needed to be encouraged to preach anywhere. The only time the Holy Spirit needed to talk to him was, don't preach there. That is, I say it all the time, the number one way by which God leads people is just to teach them what is wrong and what is right. That's number one way he leads. I've said it to you again and again. The main way you will find the wife that God sent to you is that you meet somebody that you like. And I say, what are you talking about? Like I said in my book, Should I Say Yes? It is the kind of person you like that should be the question. Do you get what I'm saying? If you are renewed, if you are transformed by the renewing of your mind, that's it. That transformation is what the will of God is. It's not, should I marry Miss A or Miss B? No, the will of God is that I am transformed. I understand that charm is deceitful. Beauty is vain. A woman who fears the Lord shall be praised. I understand that. I've been transformed, therefore, into the will of God. The will of God is for me to understand that I cannot be unequally yoked with an unbeliever. That's just the will of God. Transformation is what leads you into the will of God. That is, once you are transformed, when the word enters you. So that we've been talking about. In fact, let me just pick up from there. You know, I digress quite a bit, so that took a bit of my time. Last time we were saying something, let me just pick up from there. Let me quickly, I feel like rushing now so that I won't overshoot today. You know, last time we began to talk about that love for God specifically. The issue of loving righteousness. Please, because of time, I won't read it, but quickly go Well, you can note it again. Psalm 45, we read it last time. There's one point I want to make today, which, well, let me not complain. I wish I just started straight with it, but we keep learning. You know, I say all the time, we just keep learning. We have to say many things, right? So we keep learning. But this is the point I have for us today. In that Psalm 45, it said that thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of your kingdom is the scepter of righteousness. He said, for you have loved righteousness and hated iniquity or wickedness. He said, therefore God, even your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness above your fellows. You read from verse 6. Now, very important. Verse 7 says, you have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Please, last time I was explaining this particular issue, that Christians will do what is right for the love of what is right. Now, I want to pick up from that today to emphasize a principle that people need to understand. We often miss the mark as believers. And even some very sound teachers that I love, that's the one fault I find in their teachings. And I pray to God that he will reveal to them so that I can correct them in those areas. We often focus on the results that things bring into our lives when we are talking. In our activity, we focus on results too much. I want to emphasize to us again, that is not Christianity. I particularly dislike testimonies these days, before I used to love them, and I still give some of them to illustrate points, but I don't want us to focus on them. In which a man comes to give a testimony, and he says that, I needed 1 million. Then I gave 10,000. And here is a testimony, and I have 1 million. And then we clap. And somebody says, when you need 1 million, go and give 10,000. Or whatever it is. I say to you again, it grieves my heart when we do that. Because what we do is to emphasize the principle of getting 1 million. And that has never been God's design. Let me tell you the testimony of one woman I heard in Lagos, a pastor in Lagos. That's the wife, a very well-known pastor. He said the woman said she used to hear, I think I've told the story to us here before. She used to hear people say that, I gave 100,000. And I've heard other people say that, I've heard people say that they gave 1 million. You get my point? And they kept on wondering. Now, 100,000, I'm sure now for her and her husband, 100,000 would be big money now. But that time for her, it obviously was big money. So she went and prayed and said, God, you mean people give 100,000? How did they take manage? So she prayed and said, God, I need to be able to give 100,000. And then one day, she was telling this story in a testimony. Because shortly before that, God had opened the door for her, and she had 100,000, and she quickly rushed and gave an offering of 100,000. Way, I don't know. But so the testimony was, praise the Lord. People are giving 100,000. I want you to know that God has led me to that level, me too. I can now give 100,000. Praise the Lord. And she went and sat down. That's an unusual testimony. Most testimonies are, when I was giving that money, it was paining me. It was paining me. I said, God, this seed must germinate quick. It must come back quick. It must come back quick. I was hearing a man, he speaks a lot on things like that, and I don't like how he says it. He said, I don't know about you, but when I'm giving such offering, it pains me. I'm wondering, am I doing the right thing? How can you say, am I doing the right thing if you're helping somebody? But he's saying that, will this seed germinate and bring back for me? He says, I gave that money. I was wondering. By the following week, this happened. Can you see? I say to you again, what we are doing most of the time is sowing to the flesh. That woman just gave that testimony and went and sat down. Christianity is that we take challenge from things that are right. The first time somebody came and said, Kingdom World Ministries, take, here is 1 million naira, use it to preach the gospel. Why did the brother do it? It's simply because he had been hearing people doing it. I don't know what I can say. So people just wake up in the morning and they just give 1 million naira as offering. Now, wow. Say, God, I must give. That is, it's not like, they were not looking for, Baba God, this is my seed. It must not die. It must germinate.
as I'm putting that is 1 million, it must come back to me as a hundredfold, 100 million, pressed down, shaking together. I want it in dollars, in pounds, in Japanese yen, in Ghanaian currency. No. It is just, you mean it is possible? I remember once when I was in university, I told you, this happened. 20 naira, the time I was telling the story, was a big amount of cash, especially for a student. If you bear in mind that one complete meal that time was 1 naira. That is good meal, not managed meal, not the kind of meal like one, like woman used to say that, you know, their food, you go to Buka, say, madam, give me rice. How many pieces of meat? Meat, okay. Do you have an elephant liver there? He said, no. What about monkey waste? He said, no. Ah. You get, madam said fish. Okay, fish, okay, good. Salmon? He said, no, now which salmon? Ah. Okay, do you have a part of whale? No. Shark? No. Just give me the rest like that. Let me eat. It's one man of God that is an entrepreneur at his university. So you make it look like it's their fault. I wanted to buy meat, but they don't have. No, I don't. I mean proper, decent meal. Maybe with a bottle of soft drink to go with it. It was 1 naira. And then I saw a fellow student dash somebody 20 naira under such circumstances. I was like, what is going on? You mean this is doable? I knelt down and said, God, I must do this. I wasn't competing with anybody. I was competing with myself. I said, you mean this is doable? So the first day I had the opportunity, one brother just said, I want to buy something. You know, and I said, it's going to cost 15 naira. I believe God. Before he finished saying he's believing God, I said, I just jumped. Gathered the money I had. Here's the first 20 naira. My friend who was there, like, what is going on? No, are you getting my point? A student. And I was an average student, typical student that needs to pray and fast that my father gets my letter on time. I'm talking about the love of righteousness. It is a problem we have today in Christianity that people are looking for results. They are not looking for righteousness. Okay, after you give that 1 million, okay, that time after you gave 20 naira, what now happened? I can't remember anything that happened. All I remember is I'm still here today preaching the gospel to you. I don't know what God brought into my life by it. I don't know. And I'm saying to you again, you will never know. You can't know. God did not ordain for you to know. What am I emphasizing? This walking by the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit. Love God and love righteousness. He says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That is, seek that thing. I want to say this. We have, because of the depravity of the minds of people, a lot of times, we always look for how we get from these things. Like they say in old-time religion, we are not dead to self. Most of the time, as Christians, we are unable to just do something and let it be, it is done, and I don't have to remember it. We preachers, we have been the major problem the Lord has had and still has till today. I always like to drop a word for preachers because we spread error every time we preach like this. We make it look that the reason a Christian does good works, the reason a Christian gives is because of what he's going to get. Listen, the fact is that it is not true. Real Christianity, we do good works for the love of righteousness. That is, what did I get from it? It doesn't matter. What I did, was it right? Was it what God would have wanted a child of God to do in that situation? If the answer is yes, that is the end of it. Jesus said, my food, John chapter 4, is to do the will of him that sent me. That is, I am satisfied once I know that what I did was the will of God. Please, this is very important. Talking about walking in the Spirit, walking by the Spirit. That's what it means. To love, I'm emphasizing that love God thing.
to just live life for the sake of the love of righteousness. You're not trying to get anything. You're just trying to do righteousness. It's a plague in today's Christianity that people don't know how to do things without motivation. People do things for what they are going to get. All our testimonies begin on how things happen, but it must always end with how we got. Faith does not mean you always get. People say God never says no. Let me just say, I don't know the meaning of no, so let's not argue it. But if he says everything your heart ever desires, you will get, is not true. And I said to you the other time, the first assignment of faith in your life is to teach you contentment. It's not to get you money. It's not to get you a husband, to get you a wife, to get you children. It's to teach you contentment. That's the first assignment of faith. When we run up and down, looking for how to learn the method by which I can get, they deviate from the pursuit of righteousness. But Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6 there, he says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Once we are seeking how we get something out, it is called sowing to the flesh. You must always look at your life as having two, you know, I say this all the time. There are two reasons you are alive. Number one, I said, is to establish righteousness. That is, both in your personal life and through you on the earth. That's number one. And that's for everybody. And then number two, God wants you to bless people by your existence. And if you look at it, we are back to it again. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. That is, your thoughts, your desires, everything you concern yourself with must be how to have yourself transformed with the word of God so that obeying God's word, let me put it like that, is what comes to you naturally. It must be a concern. Now, let me say it again. It must be a concern. You should be concerned. When you want to sow seed, in quote, if you have to sow seed, you should be asking yourself, what seed do I sow so that I will be patient? Are you getting my point? What seed do I sow so I will forgive people and not bear a grudge? What seed will I sow so that I will just help people and not be asking, what will I get in return? Once I was somewhere, a man preached. When he finished preaching, a brother who used to come for meetings here, he walked up to me. He said, please, I just want to get your opinion on what that man said. I said, it was arrant nonsense. He said, okay, I just wanted to be sure. I agree with you. Why? Because the man was preaching. He was talking about why it's important to help people. Now, if you believe you should help people, say amen.
Amen.
That it was the reason he gave that was the issue. He said, if he sees you in need, he will give you the kind of money that you will never forget. That's good. Except that tomorrow when you will have prospered, he will tell his son, go and meet that guy. Tell him that my father said you will help me. Say, why? Because there was a particular, they say he would describe that incident. Said the man would never forget, so he would help his son. And we sat down that day and this man was preaching. He went on and on. By the time we finished, after we all dispersed, this brother walked up to me and said, please, sir, I just want to get your opinion on what that man said. I said, he talks nonsense. He said, thank you, sir. That's what we do a lot as Christians. When I say it like that, it's easy to understand for people that is, oh, doing it to God, and that doing it to another human being is bad. But we think we can do it to God. What I say to you again is just as bad. It's just as bad. It's just as bad. One thing you must live here with, or you walk towards, is how to do good works just for the sake of doing. That is, take satisfaction. Derive joy from the fact that you did it. Derive joy sitting in your corner and seeing somebody helped. Somebody was near death. God gave you the resources, gave you the ability to draw him out of his troubles. And then he recovers, he's alive, he's well, but he does not even know it was you. Are you getting what I'm saying? You must get to that point. That is, what am I deriving? Joy from doing righteousness. Now, this is the interesting part. Now, you must understand it. And this is what causes confusion in Christianity when people are teaching. This is the interesting part. It is only those. Now, let me be like this. It is actually those. It's actually those who have reached the point in which it wouldn't move them, whether God gave to them in return or not. They are the ones that he gives to abundantly in return. The time God will pour that abundance on you, let me warn you ahead of time, is that time when you wouldn't even care whether he did or he didn't. I don't know what you're going to say. God will pour grace to prosper heavily upon you after you've crossed the point in which if he never gave you any material thing, you wouldn't be bothered. That's the interesting part. The way it is with God is this. You labor, you want to get. God first takes you to a place where you don't want anything anymore. Then he gives to you. As long as you are still wanting and wanting and wanting and wanting, you are far from getting. The mistake I find with Christianity, a lot of the teaching we do this is, why it's inaccurate, is that people focus on the thing they are getting, they are looking for. They focus on it so much they can't get it. You want a husband? You want a wife? Sketch the kind of husband you want, the kind of wife. Put it on the wall and begin to speak to it. Every day you wake up in the morning, speak to it. Say, husband, I command you to come. You will come right now. Anoint it with oil. So I see that the feet of that altar. They say, okay. You begin to call it. Now, have you noticed all your endeavors, you're focused on that thing that's in the wall. And I say to you again today, you will not get anything. That's spiritualism. He said, but this person did it and he got it. Babalawos also get results. But I can assure you of one thing, any result so gotten does not bring a blessing. There's what is called grace and great grace. Grace is when you focus on the serpent that was wound on the pole and healing comes to your body. When you focus on God, you focus on Christ. And the manifestation of God in this situation is just the love of righteousness. And all, now, let me tell you something about God. When he says something, he means it. And even if you were joking when he said it, because he's God, his joke becomes reality. When he said all other things will be added, he means all other things will be added. As long as you are focusing, listen, on the things that you want added, they will not be added. But when you take your eyes away from the things that you want added and focus on the love of righteousness, those things will be added. You will not even know when they were added. You just get used to their presence. One of the tactics that the devil uses in life to keep people in bondage is to bring their problems before their faces every day in such a manner that they focus on their problems all the time. I know preachers have said this. Maybe I haven't said it in the past. People say, sow a seed into the life of the man who has prospered. Let me say this to you. Arrant nonsense. What did I call it? You don't sow a seed into the life of a man that has prospered. The Bible says you are a brother to the one taken from the poor. If you behave like that. He said, can't I give to a man that has more money than me? What is the motivation? That's the issue. If it's somebody that was commanded that you should honor, then you have to do that. Like I always say all the time, if your father is a multimillionaire, it means nothing. When you are going home, Christmas time, holiday time, you shouldn't go empty-handed. You should pack gifts because the Bible says a son honors his father. Are you getting my point? But let me give into this person's life. I've heard that rubbish in many places. That this man has prospered so much to connect with his blessing. You show a shade into his life. Crap! It's Pentecostal witchcraft. Don't worry that you are shocked. is expected. Because even most word of faith, a lot of word of people, they say it, but it's not true. I've told you before. If you want to give, let's take a man of God as an example. If you want, people say that you pour water on Elisha, poured water on Elijah's hands, and then the anointing fell on Elisha. So they say, therefore, what do? You pour water, look for a place where you'll be pouring water, service, you understand? But there's a mistake they make. There's one film I watched some time ago. True story, about they call it American Gangster. This was a black man, you understand, who became like a mafia boss in New York. Was it New York or New Jersey? Anyway, that axis. But this is the point about it. There was a place they were analyzing things. There was one black man before that who had died. They used to call him Bumpy. So they're saying that how can this boy do this? Now, because of the level. Now, this guy was shipping in pure heroin from Asia on American military planes. When they were analyzing it, the investigating officer, when he was talking to his superior said, are you meaning to tell me that this black boy did what even the Italian mafia could not do? And that was why they didn't suspect him for a long time, because the black man, they thought just no black boy, just normally low-level hoodlums. But this fellow was controlling even the Italian people, the Italian mafioso. But this is what I'm talking about. When the guy wanted to prove his point, he said, listen, Bumpy is dead. Who was Bumpy's driver? He mentioned that guy's name. Who did Bumpy spend all the time with? So that was him. Said this was Bumpy's butler, his right-hand man, his driver, his everything. He would carry Bumpy's clothes. Are you getting what I'm saying? He said he was with Bumpy when he died. Bumpy was there. He had a heart attack in the hospital, in a shop, and then he died. This was the man who stayed with him till he died. Then he made a statement. He said, who was Bumpy therefore most likely to teach? Did you catch that? We emphasize on he was driving Bumpy. He poured water on the hands of Elijah. We didn't realize that as he was pouring water, Elijah was pouring words. Elijah was pouring instructions. Elijah was passing his spirit down to Elisha. Why? Because the fellow was always present. We think it is the offering. Oh, God. Corrupt people. They like to monetize everything. We think it is the offering. It's not the offering. This is the Elisha that poured water on Elisha's hand. They were telling you about the relationship. The fact that this fellow was there all the time to hear Elijah's words. He understood how the prophet prayed. He understood how the prophet fasted. He understood how the prophet used music. He understood how the prophet controlled himself. He understood the words of God as they were coming fresh from the prophet's mouth. So you see, men who want to carry your bags, they don't want to hear your words. They want to come to your home and wash your car, clean your clothes, help you. One young boy, admiring my wife so much, came up to her and said, Ma, you are such an inspiration. I said, I wanted to be giving her money. No, I don't know whether you hear what I said. So you come, see my wife, give her a gift. My wife come at the time, come. What is all of this about? That he had learned that if he wants to tap her grace, he gives to her. You know, we've carried this Pentecostalism to a place where even the Muslim we know we are mad. Listen, if you wanted to tap into her grace, you know how grace flows? Grace is spirit. It flows by words. The person that will tap my wife's grace, in fact, in the last few weeks, is Jedidiah. Because she snatched my wife for the last 2 weeks. I just mentioned her name and she showed up. She took my wife for the last 2-3 weeks. Before, when it's evening, my wife and I in the room talking to each other. Now, no, my wife is downstairs talking with Jedidiah. They were losing my wife's hair. And they were talking about everything. How do you do this? She was planning to get married the next few days. She must have asked my wife every question imaginable and the ones unimaginable. That's how you tap the spirit. Every night, if I got to a time when my wife comes and say, husband, are you angry with me? No, I'm happy with you. I'm rejoicing that you have neglected me for the last 3 hours. My spirit is enlarged and lifted. At the point in time, I said, you really like this Jedidiah, Sha? He said, no, it's not like that. It's not like that. She's just asking me questions. Okay, I'm coming. That's it. Then she will now use one trick. As if, are you going to lose my hair for me? Because I have to go and meet Jedidiah because she's the one that will lose the hair. Okay, Mrs. Banky, I'm not planning to lose your hair. Go and meet the person who shall lose your hair. Then someone will say that Jedidiah tapped anointing of Mrs. Banky. Why? Because she used to loosen her hair. You are very stupid. It's not the loosening of the hair. It's that while they were loosening the hair, they were always talking. So we think that Elisha tapped anointing from Elijah because he was serving him. Service is good, amen? Amen. And in fact, I said to you all the time, number one reason you need a job is you must learn. Number two, your character must be shaped. So one of the reasons why God said you must have a job in life is not because of money. One of the reasons is because there must be a place where you are learning something you did not know. Yeah, no, that's it. You must learn. Many of the things you know, they are lies. They are not true. They are not true. So God says, no problem. Go to that office. Go and work there. They will tell you how to do things. I told you, when men left university those days, I listened to different men of God who left university around 1989, 88 and 92, thereabout. They left campus vibrant. No, did I say 88 and 92? Sorry, I'm wrong. I meant between 85 and 90. Because I left 91. These are people who left before me. Yes. That period. And one man was speaking, one of them. But no, Pastor Paul, he was telling the story, describing many of those men. And this is an interesting. Not many of them did very well in ministry. Let's just assume we all know what well is, even if we don't. Let's just assume. One who was steady, made steady progress. He said when he was leaving, he decided to go to, Bishop Wedekwa's ministry, then Kaduna. And his friends asked him, what are you going to that place to go and do? What do they know that you don't know? Are you following that? Young boys. The guy said, they will teach me seriousness in life. Do you understand my point? Which is something, listen, discipline is something that's lacking in a lot of young Pentecostals. They are indisciplined. We're talking today, by the time a lot of people arrived for Israel and Jediah's wedding, the wedding was over. What happened? They said they didn't go to a Pentecostal church. That was what happened. Try and wed in most Pentecostal churches. If they say service is 9, by 10:30, the pastor is not in his tie. They now come in looking very holy and spiritual, worshiping the Lord. We worship. God just said, look at you people. You said 9 o'clock. 10:30, you are worshiping. Generally, Pentecostals, generally, I'm not saying all of them, generally, they are indisciplined, they are short-sighted, they want immediate gratification. He starts ministry today, tomorrow he wants to build a cathedral. Things that Catholics don't do, Anglicans don't do it. And that is why the Catholics will be there for hundreds of years. The Anglicans are there for hundreds of years. Pentecostal churches, they are like businesses. For every 10 you start, after 5 years, 9 don't collapse. Most of them don't survive. Why? Indiscipline. Not like they were not called. That man said, they will teach me how to be disciplined in my life. And listen, that was the key to his own success. many people, their problem is that because it's their thing, it's their business, they sleep when they like, wake up when they like, spend money the way they like. Nobody's asking them. And God said, go somewhere where you have to account for every kobo. Because you are a righteous man, you won't steal. So go there and start accounting for money. That will teach you. No, God said like this. If you are not faithful in that which belongs to what? Another person. Who will give you your own? That is, God sends you into the field that belongs to another. So there you will learn faithfulness. Do you get what I'm saying? So how therefore did Elisha tap into the spirit of Elijah? It was not that he poured water on Elijah's hands and Elijah now said, for serving me this well, I will give you anointing back. No. That's what the Bible calls being a vessel made ready for the master's use. Elisha could only receive that anointing because he was ready for it. And how do you get ready? It's simple. He told Timothy, study to show yourself approved. Are you getting my point? Number one way you get ready is by instruction. I say to you, when the Bible says that it was that Elisha that was pouring water on the hands of Elijah, what he was saying is that the person Elijah taught the most was Elisha. After all, Gehazi poured water on the hands of Elisha. But he was not listening. He wasn't paying attention. He was not ready for the master's use. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, they threw him out of being useful for the master. He ran after money, fell in love with the present world, and lost the anointing that could have been passed down from Elisha to him, which began with Elijah. What am I trying to say? The way by which that anointing passes is not this your money seed. No. No. It is when the instruction of the word of God is passing into you. Jesus said, the letter killeth. It is the spirit that gives life. The words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. What does it mean? When I'm speaking, when you're hearing A, B, C, D, R, O, all those syllables and those things, they don't mean anything. It is what they carry, the spirit that gives life. He said, the word that I speak, they carry a spiritual substance that transfers the anointing. So as the word is coming forth, it's actually carrying something. And if somebody's heart is open, it's receiving that thing and making you ready for that blessing. So when somebody gets up in the morning and says, let me go and sow a seed into the life of a rich man, that fellow doesn't know anything. Ibukun Awosika said something once. I heard it reported to me that many young men are looking for work, that if a graduate will agree and drive me for a few years, let me summarize, let me put everything he's saying together with in my own words, that you are a graduate, come and be my driver for a few years. I will make you very rich. I won't give you money. Just driving me around, you will learn how to do business. Just driving me around, you will learn how to make investments. Just driving me around, you will hear words that will transfer your brain, all right, from the level of poverty thinking, all right, into the level of prosperity thinking. Just driving me around. Said, just, that is, those were her words. You are a graduate, you want to do business, you're looking for work. I have a job for a driver. Take it. It will change your life. That's Ibukun Awosika. For those who don't know who Ibukun Awosika is, just go to the internet and just type in Ibukun Awosika. If you cannot spell it, it is IbiKunAwosika. If you watch this, is it Dragon's Den? What's that one? The winner? It's Dragon's Den. Okay, Dragon's Den, Nigeria. She's one of the people there. What was she saying by that? I could give you money, but that one has nothing. But let me talk with you for a few years. Whatever it is that made me into what I am today, I will pass it into you by talking with you. That is why one man can make multitudes rich. Doesn't have to give them money. He's just talking to them. He's just talking to them. That's how anointing flows. These days, we have missed the whole thing up. We think, you want a rich man's anointing? You give to him. No, that's crime. You are depriving the poor. If it's a man you are supposed to honor him. The honor I owe some of these very rich men, you know, in the world now, today, if I met them, all right, is to stand and greet. I don't know whether I get my point. That's all. They are seniors, I carry their back for that temporary period. Give them money. For what? Is it my pastor? Is it my father? Have I been buying his books and it's been transforming my life? No, no. But if I see Bishop Oyedepo today with all the money he has, if I see him today, I will empty my pocket like Melchizedek, like Abraham, and give to him. Why? There was a time that all I fed on, apart from my Bible, was his teachings. It does not matter now that he's... Are you getting what I'm saying? There's a reason. It's the man taught the word, all right? Giving to the man who taught. So that would be my excuse. But if Otedola was beside him, Otedola ain't getting 5 kobo from me. Why? He's just a rich man. Are you getting what I'm saying? I will give him the respect as a ruler amongst the people. If we are together, I'll carry his bag. I will open his door. If there's only one seat in the car, I'll let him take it. I'll give him that respect. It's right. It's not as if it's not because of money. I'm recognizing that this man employs thousands of people. How many people do I employ? I don't know whether I get my point. It's not about if one man I don't recognize shining all over, driving a Rolls Royce Phantom, stops on the road and say, Papa, I should move. Me with my Kia Optima. I will tell, come and move the car now. His Phantom is not going to move me. I don't know if I get my point. If I'm on the road, you're driving a Rolls Royce Phantom. If you honk for me recklessly, I will stop there. I'll come and say, my friend, be careful yourself. Especially, I now discover that you are young, which makes me suspect that it's your father that owns the car. If I will block the road, you ain't going anywhere until you learn to respect your seniors. So I'm not expecting that if I tell you I respect some men, it's not because of their money. It's that I recognize if a man is boss over 1,000 people, he deserves your respect. He's called a ruler amongst the people. He's a ruler. And you know, oh God, many things to say. I'll let you understand, you know, later on, maybe one day I'll share it along the line. I was reading David Servant. Was this David Servant or somebody else? He said the worst slave you find in the Bible. He said the modern equivalent of an employee. I'm not making an issue here, all right? Just trying to get something out here. So when you read the Bible about slaves, many of us are still slaves. Some are slaves to the federal government. Some are slaves to the American government. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. I'm not at an issue here. So sometimes in the Bible also, you see the word rulers. I'm trying to draw parallels. So Paul said, I did not know he was a ruler when he spoke harshly against the high priest. He said, sorry, you know, when he's a ruler, you treat with respect. If you get to an Islamic community, whether you believe in Muhammad or not, if the imam talks, be silent. He's a ruler amongst the people. So if I see a wealthy man who employs thousands, he's also a ruler. That's what I'm trying to emphasize. He may not have a political office, he has an economic office, which makes him deserving of respect. So I give that fellow respect. But beyond that, I don't owe him money. Especially if he's certifiably rich. I don't owe him money. If I have to give the Holy Spirit to tell him he's broke, forget his smile on his face. But I will not give to him that I want to tap into his grace to prosper. It's arrant nonsense. If I wanted to tap into his grace to prosper, I would make friends with him. Which club do you go to? Oh, I'm a member of Enugu Sports Club. I'll go and join the club. I don't know whether I get the idea. Let's talk on natural plane now. I become his friend. We start discussing things. If he's my mate, if he was my senior, and I hear that his driver just left, I tell my wife, tell my children, there's a driver's job open. I'm coming. How can you be a... Say, don't worry. When I have driven, I shall come back as gold. Do you understand my point? I go and meet the man. Good morning, sir. What is the problem? Yes, no worry. Everything is safe. Take good care of your cars. And don't start talking. Some people don't know. They'll be talking too much. You don't need to talk too much. Just be driving and start listening. Ah, be listening. Jesus as a 12-year-old did not talk. We used to think that he was teaching the people. He didn't teach them anything. The Bible said they marveled at the kind of questions he asked. Even that he was teaching the elder. He didn't teach the elders anything. Go and read it. The Bible says that they opened their mouth when they heard the kind of questions he asked. I want to just be driving. Keep your ears open as they are talking. The man owns an aircraft. You know about landing rights, flying rights, landing fees, you know, takeoff fees. And then after a while, you know, the first time you see money, as a businessman, when they say, okay, I'll pay those people 7 million, it's like, why? Why should I pay some people 7 million at a go? You know, like, no, we can't pay. That meanwhile, you are moving your company towards poverty. You are not paid. You know why? It's not your fault. The largest amount of money you have ever personally paid is 125,000. You now say you pay 7 million. One day I went to see one brother in his office. Then he was working at Coca-Cola. He was sitting in for his boss, and the people just came in. That erosion is serious. We'd have to do like 6 million. And this was a guy was my classmate in university. I was looking at him like, are you serious or are you joking? So like, oh, God, so please approve the 6 million. We want to go and start spending it. He said, that's not the problem. Okay. He was, I'm like, the gentleman will sign how many millions like that? In my mind, though, on the surface, I just like say, it's a common thing. We all have these millions. My mind, I was like, what's going on here? No, really, the first time you get to some levels, that's why some people still criticize till today. When they hear that Bishop Oyedepo say anytime he travels abroad, you know, anytime I travel abroad, maybe so. You can't even buy one keke napep. It's not as if I travel abroad, I'm just going to say, like, by the time you buy flight ticket, maybe two, one Okada, how much is it? But when Bishop Oyedepo travels once, that money builds a duplex. See, this guy lift up me, I'm like, what did you say? Each time he travels once, by the time you cast the cost of landing this thing and the cost of aviation fuel for a private jet, travel across the Atlantic, that's enough money to put up a decent house. So the first time you go to a company, they say, all right, we'll go like this. They say, no, everybody, go and queue at the airport. You'll miss all the deals. They will sack you. Because you're not used to spending that level of money. But if you have been with a man doing it, that's why I'm talking about the story, you've realized how you have to break an egg to make an omelette. You understand? You can say this egg is so precious. We love the egg. Let's keep the egg. Say, boss, sir, we need omelette. No, we can't just be breaking eggs like that. Sir, how do we get the omelette now? So let's just try and pray about the omelette coming. But this egg must not be broken. But you break away from such things, all right, by just being with some people. That's how anointing flows. I thought one of the ways by which God broke all these people driving for money, how God ended it in my life, when I finished youth service, God just said, Banky, go to Lagos. Stay with your auntie a short while. I had to work for a whole month to earn 5,000 naira. Then as we're about to enter the canteen, we say, please hold this for me. We'll give the manager when we get there. What is that? It's a pair of shoes. I want him to test it. Okay. How much is it? 25,000. Yeah? What did you say? Let me carry the second pair. This one looks fine. How much is this one? That one is 50. Post NYC doctor, I was working 30 days to get 5,000. Men were walking into shops, testing shoes, wearing them, paying 25 and walking out. And some Christian would say, don't mind them. They are going to hell. They are not going to hell. Forget all of this nonsense. They are not going to hell. As long as they didn't steal the money. Me, I was looking. What? I still remember them. I said, this car looks nice for you to carry my wife and my children. And the man counted cash. I was present. 2 million naira of 1994. Who? I was to get 5,000 and then to work 30 days. And the fellow who brought that deal, who brought the buyer, I still remember I was there when they paid that guy and he was grumbling. They counted 35,000 naira and paid him 7 months alawe. So I told God, in this life, let's come to an agreement. Either you bless me or I die poor. No option. I will never struggle for money. Yeah. You know, some people come out with different things. You think I will now begin. No, I didn't love money. I just realized that either God blesses you or you're dead meat. So you want to prosper in life? Pray. I'm telling you the truth. I realized that those who were prospering, they were not prospering because they were working. Because I had a friend who was working 24 hours, 24/7 to buy a Honda Quintet. He was working 24 hours to buy a used Honda Quintet. Okay, some of you don't even know what Quintet is. You know Honda Civic? Divide it into two. Three different places. 8 to 3, 3 to 8, 8 to 8. Because you're a medical doctor. And then I finished that experience. And what was I doing for my auntie? I was a driver. Funny enough, you know, the way God arranged it, I was her driver. It's my relative, you understand? It's just like her driver left. Just say, Vanky, are you going out this morning? No, man, I'm just relaxing. I'm reading something. Come now, please now. Please, I want to go to the embassy. Will you drive? You know, I've not been feeling well. I said, auntie, no problem. I carried the car keys. After a week, she got used to it. So every morning, I started dressing up. Where are we going today? Okay, we'll go to Ikeja. From Ikeja, then we'll take the express. We'll come down at the third mainland. Then after that, we should go down to Western Avenue. We'll rest more. That time, I chop beast up bigs. Well, you know. You're going down. And they just say, are you not hungry? Auntie Bly say, I'm hungry. We all pack one better joint. Now, this is just this. But the point is that these are the kind of things you learn from pouring water. It is not you gave money. I was just driving. That was what poured anointing into the life of Elisha. Because he was always present as Elijah was dropping the substance. I hope you've gotten my point. What I know to all of that, people make the mistake, say, you want anointing from the hands of a man who has prospered, give money to him. It's not true. You give to those who have blessed you. You give to those that God says you should honor. And most importantly, you give to those who have less than you have. Those are the three people you give to. If the people have more than you, they have to qualify either because they were blessing with the word, or two, you were commanded to honor them. If you were in school, your uncle, your father took good care of you. Now you have prospered. Even if he still has more than you, he's somebody you are commanded to honor and a man who was a blessing. Is a way by which you tell God, thank you. But I want something from somebody. No. You don't give to them. That is spiritual manipulation. It's witchcraft. It's the same thing as bribery. I want all of that bringing out something. We must love righteousness. We must love the doing of right. We must love it. It must be a driving thing in our heart. How do I do right? And what I have done right, even if I get killed for it, is still okay. Don't forget, heaven exists though. One day, every single one of us will stand before the judgment throne of Christ. And nobody will ask whether you used jewelry, or you had weave on, or you had makeup. They will ask, did you do the assignment that we asked you to do? Did you do righteousness when we said, do righteousness? Or you were looking for a reward. You were looking for results. What have I said? Listen, those who are actually going to get a reward from God, they never seek it. They seek righteousness. And every other thing is added unto them. The Lord is good. I hope you are blessed today. If you are blessed, shout aloud, amen.